Hi, everyone. As Cheryl said, happy Sunday. She ends the way I begin. Dove is saying 1 hour from now, Teddy Poppy at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So there we go. 1 hour from now. right now, we are here for Holy Spirit Guides, which is the period of time when I am reading from the messages that I was given, the personal messages from Holy Spirit, in order to be helpful to me. Those messages are all archived on reginadonacres.com. And right now we're specifically in the period of time where the messages were actually given both to Laurent and me. And in fact, last week we began a message called Trust and Acceptance from September 24th, 2007. At least that's what I call it. I think it has a different name on the blog. Here is a link to that message. So if you want to, you can click on that link. And what we will do after a prayer is I'll show you where we left off. I'll give you kind of a review of what the message was about last week. I'll show you where we left off, and then we'll continue. We'll finish this message and most likely begin another message. First, however, if y'all would join me in prayer, I would greatly appreciate that. Holy Spirit, I am grateful for your guidance. The thought that I hear in my mind now, which I know I am to focus on, is the word stillness. This morning in my personal meditation time, I was told that stillness is the path. I am is the realization. I realize, Spirit, that most of us, when we start this spiritual path, we are not aware that stillness is the path. In fact, we may spend a great amount of time trying to intellectually master spiritual teachings, metaphysics, related ideas. But eventually, Holy Spirit, through our own willingness, each and every one of us comes to the realization that the thinking mind is not the answer. We come to the realization that it is the thinking mind that must be put aside in order for us to find or discover the answer. This is when we step on the path of stillness. The path of stillness is the path of listening to something other than the thinking mind. Being drawn into something other than the thinking mind. The path of seeing the thinking mind as less and less and less meaningful. Less and less and less what we are. And it is through this path of stillness that we come to realize our truth, which has always been there, but was somehow overlooked. That truth is often expressed as I am. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the path of stillness, the path that leads us away from the one problem, the path that leads us away from the one problem. So that we may realize the truth of what we are. Amen. Okay, hey everyone. I'm going to give you the link again. There you are. This is a link to a message about trust dated September 24th, 2007. And we began this message last week. The message began with Holy Spirit teaching us that trust is always key. That whenever we are experiencing fear in any form, so it could be experienced as hate, for example, it could be experienced as something that, you know, most people would give a different label to. But whenever we experience fear in any form, it is because we are choosing to. Am I hard to hear? Gosh. How about everybody else? Can everybody else hear me? Okay, everybody else can hear me okay? All right, because I'm pretty close to the mic. I just moved it a little closer, but I'm pretty close to the mic. It's like a couple inches from my mouth. All right, so whenever we are experiencing fear, any type of fear, it is because we are choosing it. And so since we are choosing fear in order to experience fear, what Holy Spirit is recommending is that we learn to choose trust. Learn to choose trust. And we aren't being asked to trust anything specific. For example, if we have a fear about running out of money, we aren't being taught to trust that we will get money, for example, or that we will get a specific amount of money, for example. We're asked just to trust, period. And what this really does is this points us to true knowledge. True knowledge could be described as a knowing that all is well, no matter what, right? Just a knowing that all is well. And so trust moves us in the direction of that knowing. So trust is a more helpful choice than fear. Fear points directly into illusion, and we experience all of the effects of illusion. And trust points us towards knowledge, and we begin to experience the effects of knowledge. The second thing that Holy Spirit taught us in this message is called acceptance. And what Holy Spirit really focused on was accepting the thoughts in our mind and the emotions that we are experiencing. It's very common, especially on the spiritual path, you know, where we're focused on ideas of goodness, ideas of love, ideas of purity, right? These types of ideas. It's very common that if we seem to be experiencing something else, you know, like hate, anger, it's very common to want to get out of that experience as soon as possible. And there are a number of ways to get out of experience as soon as possible. One is to deny it completely, just to lie to ourselves. Another is to try to push it away through some type of distraction, possibly even a spiritual distraction such as meditation or reading a feel-good book. But we have a tendency sometimes to want to push these, I'm going to call them non-spiritual feelings, although that's not the world's best label, but the reason I'm using that label is because that's really our judgment. So the label describes our judgment. Our judgment is it's not spiritual to hate, right? It's not spiritual to be angry. It might not even be spiritual to be fearful, right? So we experience these feelings that we judge as not spiritual, and we try to get out of them, and get back to what we call spiritual feelings, such as peace and joy. You know, we're okay with those. Well, Spirit is saying that that's not at all helpful to our actual awakening. That's not a spiritual practice. What's most helpful to our spiritual awakening is to accept whatever we are experiencing now. If my mind is filled with hate thoughts, I accept that my mind is filled with hate thoughts. Now, acceptance is not the same thing as belief. Acceptance is not the same thing as belief. So if my mind is, all upset with someone and my mind is judging and judging and judging, I can look at those thoughts and I can accept those thoughts are there now, but I accept them with the realization that they're not my true thoughts. Here you go, Clara, here's the link again. They're not my true thoughts, that they are going to pass, and when they pass, I'll be more in touch with my true thoughts, right? So I accept the experience that I'm having now without believing it. Same thing for emotions. If I am feeling a lot of hatred, a lot of anger, a lot of annoyance, a lot of fear, I don't want to try and push that away from me. That's not helpful. I want to accept how I feel now. I accept and allow the annoyance. Accept and allow the hatred, the fear, the anger. But at the same time, there's a realization in my mind that this is not my true way of feeling. This is not my true experience. And this is going to pass. And what Spirit is recommending is that we just allow these thoughts or these emotional experiences to stay with us without our belief, but with our acceptance, to stay with us until they die a natural death. And Spirit says this is how we heal, that every time we try to hurry up and get out of them, all we do is push them back into our reserve so they're going to come back again. We need to let them run their course and run themselves out. So trust and acceptance are the two things we went over last week. And in fact, if you look at the message, I've given you the link. If you look at the message, we're actually several paragraphs down. Let me go ahead and count for you. 12th paragraph, which begins with the word if. If you feel fear right now. That's where we're going to begin tonight. If you feel fear right now. So you guys can scroll down and find that. Just before I start that, I want to read to you something from the message that Spirit gave us last week to help us with acceptance. Holy Spirit said to say to ourselves, "This is how I feel now. These are the thoughts I see in my mind now. I accept this exactly as it is without wishing to extend it longer than it need be." Right? I accept it exactly as it is, without wishing to extend it longer than it need be. At the same time, I'm going to allow it to be as long as it need be, right? Then I just be with it, just stay with it, until it dies its own death. Don't try to get out of it. All right, so acceptance and trust is what we have gone over in this particular message. And in fact, if we just jump up one paragraph, I pointed you to the paragraph that begins with, if you feel fear right now. Let's jump up one paragraph that says, acceptance is the answer. Let's go ahead and start there. It says, acceptance is the answer. Patient acceptance. Along with the realization of the light. Do not be in a hurry. Be more willing for the long-term effect that you desire, which is healing, right? Be more willing for the long time true healing than to get out of this experience now, which is a short-term goal. So we want to focus ourselves on long-term goals instead of short-term goals. I feel like a financial advisor right now. Because if I was your financial advisor, I would give you the same advice. Focus more on the long-term goals than the short-term goals. But that's what we want to do for healing too, right? Focus more on the long-term goal. The long-term goal is permanent healing, real healing. The short-term goal, the desire, the temptation will be to get the heck out of this bad experience. Okay? We want to focus on the long-term goal. Be more willing for the long-term effect that you desire. Now, here's the famous statement that's been used over and over by many people. Rest, accept, and trust. Many of us call this RAT as a nickname. My friend Donna, who's in the room, recently resigned from her job. And after she resigned from her job, many of her coworkers were asking her, what are you going to do? And she told them she was going to rat. She, of course, went on to explain a little bit about that. But that shows how helpful this little sentence has become, right? That it's just become a part of our healing culture, I'm going to call it. Rest, accept, and trust. Notice temptations to resist. And in that moment, choose again. A temptation to resist would be a temptation to believe the story, to move from trust back into fear. Or it would be a temptation to hurry up and get the heck out of this experience because I don't like it. Okay? So notice temptations to resist. And in that moment, choose again. Rest, accept, and trust. This is truly, Holy Spirit says, the best way to help yourself. Through results, it teaches clearly who you are. So that's the last paragraph we read last week. Now let's move into the new paragraph. If you feel fear right now, fear of failing in what I ask, fear of not being good enough, or fear that the tiny mad idea is all that is true. Do not resist the feeling you call fear. Do not resist the panic in your chest. Do not resist what you see in your mind. Accept it. Forget about future results right now. A mind projected into the future with fear as the filter will only know the experience of fear more. Now, the specific fears that were listed in this paragraph were really, in a way, specific for Laurent and me, but the truth is we're all the same, so you guys may also be intimately familiar with these fears. The fear of failing in what I ask appeared to be one of the fears that Laurent had when Holy Spirit would give us a message, give us a practice. He would have a fear that he would not be able to carry that through. A fear of not being good enough. At this time, that was probably more consciously my fear than Laurent's fear. However, this fear did come up into his consciousness within a few months. After we were together a few months, he began to become aware of his sense of unworthiness that had been denied. But many of us are very familiar with this fear of just not being good enough, right? Or the fear that the tiny mad idea is all that is true. What that really means is the fear that the truth is not true. The fear that the guidance I am hearing, I the scribe, that I am hearing right now as I'm writing these words is somehow just made up in the mind, beyond my conscious awareness, but somehow just made up in the mind. These were fears that we struggled with. Fears that were among some of the strongest fears that we felt, so that when they came up, it would be difficult to not want to escape from them. And in fact, for me, I suppose the fear of not being good enough in some ways was actually the biggest fear. But the one that I consciously experienced as fear the most was the fear that the tiny mad idea is all that is true. Or said again, the fear that the truth is not true. The fear that all of the magnificent messages that have come through me in TI, the personal messages for me, the personal messages for Laurent and me, somehow, without my knowing it, were just made up by me. That was my greatest, greatest fear. And whenever this fear came up, it like brought me to my knees. I could not hear spirit. I would go into a panic. I would cry. I felt as if, it was just the worst thing that I could imagine. It was the worst thing that I could imagine. And what eventually happened, this didn't happen until the following April, and this is in September. Okay, so in April of 2008, what eventually happened is this fear came upon me big time. big time. I would call it just the full force of the fear came up, so that all I was looking at, all I could feel, was the belief that there is no such thing as a God or a divine or a spirit or an eternity, right? That the only thing that is real is this world, and that everything else that we call truth is imagined because we want it so much to be true. All right, this is the fear. And what happened for me in April is that fear came up full force. I really cannot describe for you how paralyzing this fear was. But thanks to this teaching that we're reading right now, okay? Thanks to this teaching that we're reading right now, when the fear came up, I knew exactly what to do with it. And I practiced rest, accept, and trust with the worst fear I'd ever experienced. I feel like what I did was lay around on a love seat that we had in our house for about a week and didn't say hardly anything. This was a time when there was a woman named Deborah staying with us. And I remember Laurent and Deborah were jovial and talking and you know, in a good mood. And I was suffering like I can't describe. And I just practiced rest, accept, and trust. Rest means I rested the mind. The thoughts would try to come in to say whatever they were going to say to support the feeling of fear and to continue to create the feeling of fear. Whenever these thoughts would come into the mind, I would rest the mind by reminding myself, this too shall pass. I would say that was a key sentence in my mind that week. This too shall pass. And it's funny because in my actual experience, even though I was saying those words, this too shall pass, my actual experience was so strong, I can't say that there was belief or knowing. It was more at the level of hope. Because what was more conscious at that time was the fear, which means what was more conscious at that time was the belief that the world is real, that the Holy Spirit and all of its messages were made up, that I would never be able to hear them again because they were nothing but a fantasy. That was the more conscious mind. So to say this too shall pass, I mean, it was just hope. I don't know how else to describe it. It was a hope that this would pass, right? But that is how I rested the mind with that thought. The funny thing is, and this is really important probably, I said it's funny, but it's probably really important, is even in this moment when everything in me is telling me that the truth is not true and that this has all been just a bunch of crap, all these messages, NTI, everything has been nothing but a bunch of crap, right? This is what my mind is telling me. Even in the instant when this is happening, I'm still somehow trusting what I've received enough to practice it. That's pretty amazing. So, in spite of, quote, not believing it at the conscious level, I still practiced it. So I rested the mind by repeating within myself, like a mantra, the thought, this too shall pass. I accepted how I felt. I did absolutely nothing to try and push it away. I did not run frantically looking for spiritual books to read, to try and push my mind back into believing in the truth again. I did not try to go into any meditation or anything like that. I totally accepted my fear, a paralyzing fear, but I stayed with it because of rest, accept, and trust, because I was practicing this and I knew that was a part of it. I just allowed it, and I was going to allow it for as long as it took, and in this case it took about a week. And then the trust part, well, the trust part is mixed back with that, this too shall pass. Okay, so that was both the rest and the trust for me that week. This too shall pass, which, like I said, felt more like hope. But you can tell there was some trust there, even though I couldn't consciously feel the feeling of trust. The trust had to have been there for me to be even practicing rest, accept, and trust, right? I was trusting the practice itself, trusting the thought, this too shall pass, trusting the hope, And indeed, it did pass. And I want to tell you guys something because this is so important. It has never returned. I have never, ever, ever doubted spirit again. I've never doubted that the truth is true again. This was a key doubt that came up in me from time to time and was paralyzing. It was a key doubt that made it very difficult for me to be a scribe, by the way. Being a scribe was not easy, especially with this doubt in my mind that was telling me that I was somehow making it up without knowing it. But after I allowed it for a week, and I allowed it to die a natural death, I didn't do anything to push it away. I just practiced rest, accept, and trust. It died, and I have not experienced any of that fear since. Yeah, it was called the fear of the scribe. We got a message about that right around that time. So this is what Spirit is really saying. Spirit is really saying, go for that long-term goal. Go for that long-term effect, that permanent healing, where this fear that you are allowing to rise up and allowing yourself to experience, go for the long-term effect of it being healed by not trying to push it away, not trying to get out of it. Go ahead and just let it be. If you let it be, it will die. It seems to me that a thought, Laurent, that we were once given, I think when I was speaking, Spirit, for you, was the thought of a flower, right, or a plant, how a flower has to grow and fully bloom, and then it will die. But if you never allow it to grow and fully bloom, it can't reach the natural point of death. So that's really what we're doing. We're allowing these beliefs, these emotions, these things to be fully born without our belief. That's a key thought. Fully born, fully bloomed, without our belief, and then on their own they die a natural death. That's what rest, accept, and trust is. Yeah, grow, bloom, and die. So again, back to this paragraph. If you feel fear right now, fear of failing in what I ask, fear of not being good enough, or fear that the tiny mad idea is all that is true, do not resist the feeling you call fear. Do not resist the panic in your chest. Do not resist what you see in your mind. Accept it. Laurent is adding, or the belly, or the chest, or the throat. Forget about future results right now. A mind projected into the future with fear as the filter will only know the experience of fear more. Okay, next paragraph. Rest now with the experience of now and accept it. See it as the light. This, of course, is referring back to the power of the light message. See it as the experience that was desired. This is referring to the fact that we have listened to the thoughts, the ideas that created this. We listened to them because we wanted to listen to them. So let's realize that you know, as the Course says, we did this to ourselves. Not in a judgment way, but realize all the times I listened to these thoughts about the truth not being true, or all the times I listened to thoughts of lack, or all the times I listened to thoughts of unworthiness, that's what has built up to this. This is what those thoughts created in me. And now I'm just going to let it be until it dies. I'm just going to let it be until it dies. Now, here's an interesting sentence, okay? So I'm going to start over. Rest now with the experience of now and accept it. See it as the light. See it as the experience that was desired. And then he says, do not go back and look for a thought. So even though he is teaching us that it is certainly our thoughts, our beliefs that have led to this experience, he is not asking us to go back and analyze and find out, when did I think that? What was I thinking? He's saying, don't go back and do that. Just trust that that's how it's here. This is not a time to go into the analyzing mind. And the reason for that is the analyzing mind is ego. If you're in a fear experience, an unworthiness experience, a guilt experience, a hatred experience, an anger experience, and you start jumping into the idea of, what did I do to create this? You're going to jump into that idea with ego because you are in ego. And you're going to judge yourself. You're going to go into judgment. You're only going to find yourself guilty. And I know you all have felt that. What did I do to create this in a guilty way, right? So his spirit is saying, don't go back and look for the thought. That's not important, right? Don't go back. You can trust that this came because of your believing, but don't go back and look for it, right? Just stay with now. Just stay with the experience. Focus only on acceptance. Keep the image of Helen and the scroll in mind. Now he's referring to Helen Schuckman. Keep the scroll rolled up so you do not look into the past or imagine the future. Stay here, right here, in the throes of your experience, and accept without judgment the purity and perfection of the experience you are having now. And for those of you that don't know the story of Helen, Helen had a vision where she, I believe she was in a cave and she found a scroll. And when she unrolled the scroll a little bit, it said now. And then a voice came and told her that if she was to unscroll the scroll further in one direction, she could see into the past. And if she unscrolled the scroll further in the other direction, she could see into the future. And she chose to just stay with now. And she was told she'd made the right decision this time. So Spirit is asking us to make that same decision that Helen made in that vision. Just stay with now. Don't go back and try and analyze how I got here. It doesn't matter, right? I got here through my belief, but right now we don't need to go back and figure that out. Just stay here. And don't go into the future trying to imagine what's going to happen in the future. Because any imagining we're doing forward or analyzing we're doing backward, we're doing it with the ego. Instead, we want to stay with Spirit. Spirit is acceptance now. All right? Acceptance now. So we want to stay with Spirit. In fact, lots of people get kind of messed up on the word Holy Spirit because they think of Holy Spirit as some kind of a character who may or may not be present with them. Maybe some people just need to throw away the word Holy Spirit completely because it is just a term. Although it refers to something very real, it's just a term. If that term is confusing, if it seems like a character who may or may not be with you, just throw away that term. It's a totally unnecessary term. And go ahead and take the term acceptance now. Stay with acceptance now. If you stay with acceptance now, you are also staying with what we call Holy Spirit. Stay with acceptance now. All right? Hold hands with that. Now, looks like we had a question. There is an expectation of resistance in my mind when the boiling hate or crippling fear, you can tell that we're really going through quite an experience because look at how I describe the hate. It's not just hate, it's boiling hate. The fear isn't just fear, it's crippling fear. So you can tell that Laurent and I were definitely going through an experience that was bringing up for us everything we needed to see and release, and it was bringing it up in its fullness, right? There is an expectation of resistance in my mind. When the boiling hate or crippling fear comes upon the mind, it seems it will be impossible to do this then. That's back to that fear of failing in what I ask. Holy Spirit says, the expectation of resistance is fear. Don't let it fool you into thinking it is knowledge. It is not. It is fear now projected forward so that the acceptance of now is resisted and resistance is denied. It is merely missing the point and practicing the creation of fear through the avoidance of noticing and accepting now. Okay, so let me go through this paragraph a little more slowly. It's a wonderful paragraph. Very enlightening, coming from the voice of enlightenment. So there was a thought, I don't know if it was mine or if it was Laurent's, or if it was my thought about Laurent. I don't know what it was, but there was a thought that when the boiling hate or the crippling fear came up, this rest, accept, and trust practice, because the fear and the hate were so intense, what wouldn't be enough. You know, we wouldn't be able to sustain us. We needed something more, something bigger, something more magical. And you know, the ego will tell you that too, by the way. Obviously, I'm listening to ego here. The ego will tell you that. If you haven't practiced this yet, when you start practicing it and you're in intense emotions, the ego is going to tell you this is not enough. The ego is going to tell you you need to do something. Like you're doing nothing. Of course, remember, the Course says, I need do nothing, right? I need do nothing. Okay, but the ego starts yelling at you, telling you that's rest, accept, and trust is not enough. That's ridiculous. You need to do something to get rid of this, right? And so as I'm thinking about this, right? I'm recognizing what the ego is going to say, and I'm thinking in the future, either me or Laurent or both of us. I don't know who I was thinking about, but. When it gets hard, we're not going to be able to stay with that rest, accept, and trust. It's not enough. It's not enough of a lifeline, right? We need something else. The Spirit is saying, no, don't let this resistance, don't let this fear fool you into thinking it's knowledge. Because first of all, that's exactly what I'm thinking. I think I know what I'm talking about. I think it's knowledge. When I say, Laurent will not be able to do this, or I will not be able to do this, I think I know based on past experience. I think I know that we need something more. And Spirit is saying, don't, this is just fear, okay? This is just fear in your mind, fear that you won't be able to. Don't let this fear fool you into thinking it's knowledge. It's not. It's not knowledge. He says, it is fear right now. Right now you're having the experience of fear, okay? But you're projecting it forward and saying, we aren't going to be able to do this in the future. But what you aren't noticing is that right now, you're afraid. Right now, you're in doubt. You're not even looking at now because you're thinking about the future. And if Spirit was using this language, Spirit would say, and blaming me for not giving you enough. But Spirit doesn't use that language. But that's basically what was going on. I was imagining a future when we couldn't do it, blaming Spirit for not giving us enough, not being helpful enough, and totally missing the point, like Spirit says here, that I was in fear right now. Not noticing that right this second I'm feeling fear. When that's exactly what was happening. So Spirit says, don't let it fool you into thinking it is knowledge, this fear. It isn't. It is fear now, projected forward, so that the acceptance of now is resisted and resistance is denied. So right now, I'm not recognizing my fear. I'm even denying that it's fear right now and blaming Spirit for not giving us enough because I know it's not enough. I know. When the tough gets tough, we're going to need something more, right? Now, it's really funny that I do these things with Holy Spirit because, you know, this is what we do with each other. You know, I mean, we think we know based on our past experience or past perceptions, and we get upset at people and blame people because they aren't doing what they need to do or giving us what they need to give us or saying what they need to say based on what we know, right? And we're not paying any attention to our state of mind in the moment. We're caught up in thinking and blaming and trying to control, trying to get what we want. And we're not paying any attention to our feelings in the moment. We're totally missing the point. In fact, that's Spirit's next sentence. It is merely missing the point. And practicing the creation of fear through avoidance of noticing and accepting now. Which means the best thing for me to do would start noticing right now how I feel. In fact, if I had already been a master of this practice, which obviously I wasn't, in fact, Spirit was just giving it to me for the first time, but if I'd already been a master of this practice, what I would have noticed, the way this would have worked out in my mind, would have been I would have noticed this thought coming up that Laurent or I could not do this. This thought coming up that this was enough, this temptation to blame Spirit for not being helpful enough, right? And I would have sat with it. I would not have even expressed it because I wouldn't have believed it enough to express it. I would never have told Spirit. The question would never have been written. The question could only be written through my belief that I was right. I wouldn't even have asked Spirit a question. I would have noticed, here's what's going on right now. I'm afraid that we can't do this. I feel Spirit has not given us enough. Okay, this is fear in me. This is fear in me. I can feel this fear in me. Oh, I recognize it. Yep, I feel it in my chest. Yep, this is a pretty strong fear. Oh, I see this fear that it's not enough, that we're not enough. There's a fear here that will never be healed. Okay, I'm breathing. I see this fear. And I would just stay with it until it passed. And I'd never, ever, ever would have even asked Spirit the question, which is funny, because I never would have acted on it. I would have rest, accepted, and trusted until it passed, and I was naturally returned to clarity. That's the way this works. Now, this last paragraph, Spirit says, don't miss now. Obviously, we've been missing a lot of nows, right? Don't miss now. Look at it, embrace it, accept it, and remember that you can only do that now. Make this your sole practice today. And what happened, of course, is the rest, accept, and trust became a core practice. And that's why, and of course, I became at least somewhat of a master, which is why in April, you know, half a year later, when my biggest fear came over me, I was able to practice rest, accept, and trust with my biggest fear and truly and honestly allow that to be healed without any trying to repress, any trying to escape, any trying to do anything. So that is the end of that message. I can begin another message, and I'm prepared to. But before I do that, I would love to find out if anybody has any questions or comments over this message, because it really is a core practice. So I'll just release the mic and see if anybody has anything. If not, we'll go on to another message. All right, so everybody gets the rest, accept, and trust, understands how important it is, and understands that ego is a big fat liar when it says that's not enough. Good. Okay, I'm giving you another link. Laurent's asking if I remember the year of the rat. I don't specifically remember when that year was or what happened that year. No. Was it the year after? Was it 2008? Okay, I've given you a link. Oh, it was the same year. Okay, I'm giving you a link. This is to a PDF file because the next message that I'm going to begin reading was not posted on reginadonacres.com. Now, this is a pretty long message. I'm obviously not going to get through it in 20 minutes. And by the way, while we're here, I will tell you that I am not going to be here for the next two Sundays in a row. The rest of January, I am unavailable. I'll be traveling. In fact, I'll be on a plane both Sundays during this time. So, Laurent, one thing you can consider is if you want to take this time frame and continue this message on your own, it might take all 3 weeks to teach it because it's a pretty long message and I only have 15 minutes now. This is Being the Master. So if you want to do that, let me know. If not, I'll work with Dove to find someone else to take the time and we'll just finish the message when I get back. Laurent says, why not? Okay, good. So for the next 2 weeks then, the next two Sundays in January, Laurent will go ahead and he'll continue this message, Being the Master. And he says he'll let me know later. Okay, so maybe. Maybe. I will be back the first Sunday in February. All right? Stay tuned for details. Okay, so I've given you the link. Hopefully by now you've had time to open it. It's called Being the Master. The 23rd and the 30th. Yes, sir. The 23rd and the 30th. Those are the two dates. All right. So Being the Master, September 29th, 2007. He says it looks okay. So Laurent will be here. Yay! thank you. And of course, send me the recordings, Laurent, and I will post them, all right? Okay, so we had no question. Holy Spirit just was talking to us. So here's how the message begins. Placing too much emphasis on anything within the dream can be an error in your mind, because to make anything in the dream real is to make the dream real. This, specifically, is to forget who you are. This is also true about the idea of making healing real. If it is true that you must heal, then it is also true that you are not absolute perfection now, and that is not the case. Spirit took Laurent and me and really started moving us in a new direction pretty quickly. Because again, this is September 29th. We've been together just a little over a month now, not long at all. And of course, one of the ideas is that we came together to heal, which in one way is a helpful idea because it kept our purpose in front of our minds. We understood the purpose of our relationship. When stuff came up, we dealt with it through following Holy Spirit's guidance instead of screaming and shouting at each other and throwing stuff and breaking up. You know, I'm certain, I feel pretty certain when I say this, that most couples would not have made it through the first 3 weeks that Laurent and I experienced. Laurent would have, you know, that most couples, the guy would have left after 3 weeks and that would have been it. So in that way, the idea that we were here for our healing was helpful, because in that way, it kept us together. It kept us looking at everything that happened with Holy Spirit. It kept us in a state of openness and readiness and willingness to receive guidance. And it kept us in that willingness to practice. So in that way, the idea that we were together to heal was helpful. But in another way, that idea is not helpful, because in another way, the idea that I need to heal is synonymous with I am the ego. You see, our true self is perfect. Our true self does not need to heal. And what really Spirit is guiding us to do, although he may give us many tools and practices along the way, what Spirit is really ultimately guiding us to do is to shift our identification. Shift our identification from the ego, the personality, to the true self, which has always been absolute perfection, has never needed any healing, has never needed any purification, right? And so this is really a beginning of Spirit doing that. Although Spirit is going to continue to give us guidance and practices, at the same time, Spirit is now turning our eyes from the ego to the true self as I. Right? As I, the true I. Yeah, so keep in mind that we don't need healing. We only need to let go of false identification. That's it. We don't need healing. We do need to let go of false identification. And sometimes we call that healing, right? But it's not really. It's not really. We don't need healing. We just need to let go of false identification. Let go of thinking we're something we're not. So Spirit is beginning that correction in this message. Let me read that first paragraph again. Placing too much emphasis on anything within the dream can be an error in your mind, because to make anything in the dream real is to make the dream real. This specifically is to forget who you are. This is also true about the idea of making healing real. If it is true that you must heal, then it is also true that you are not absolute perfection now. And that is not the case. The best place to stay within the mind is the remembrance that you are the master of the mind now. You are not working towards mastery, that would mean that you are right now somehow less than all that you are. You are master now. You cannot be any less because you are always all that you are. Now, I felt some resistance to this. In fact, I think I felt some resistance to nearly everything Spirit told us while Laurent and I were together, which means it was the perfect next step for me, right? It wasn't easy. I had to put some work into accepting what Spirit had to say. And I had resistance at that time to the idea that I am the master now because I really believed I was the wounded puppy who needed to heal. I was so far from anything that I would call master, right? But what I came to see and what Spirit has already started teaching us in the previous message and messages before that, actually, is that I am the master. Remember, if I am experiencing fear now, I'm not experiencing fear because I'm not the master. I'm not experiencing fear because I'm some weak puppy that needs to be healed. I am experiencing fear because as the master, I chose that experience and now it is here, right? If I am experiencing unworthiness, it's because as the master, I chose to believe certain thoughts, to allow certain ideas in my mind, and I created that experience and now I'm experiencing it. So even the experience of being the wounded puppy who needs to be healed, that came about through my natural mastery, right? And Spirit wants us to begin to identify with being the master, because as we begin to identify with being the master, we're preparing ourselves to shift fully into who we are and let go of this ego experience completely, because it's not who we are. You see, the only reason we put up with suffering is because we think it's who we are. The only reason we put up with suffering is because we think it's who we are. I think I am the person who's always depressed. I think I am the person who can never do anything right. Right? I think I am the person with this mental illness. I think that's who I am, and so I put up with it. And what Spirit wants us to begin to see, begin to accept, even just a little bit, is that is not who I am. That's a false experience I've made. Laurent says, no, I am not a concept. All right, so again, the second paragraph. The best place to stay within the mind is the remembrance that you are the master of the mind now. You are not working towards mastery, right? That's the idea some of us have, that we're going to someday be the master. No, you're the master now. You've always been the master. This whole experience came about through us being the master, right? You are not working towards mastery. That would mean that you are right now somehow less than all that you are. You are master now. You cannot be any less because you are always all that you are. Now, with the realization that you are master, look at the dream. Look at everything about it with a sense of awe, remembering that you created it for you. Awe is not seriousness or concern. It is pure appreciation. But when you look at the dream with awe, you are not truly being inspired by the dream itself. Your true inspiration, the true source that inspires the feeling of awe, is the power that makes the dream. And that power is you in your truth as pure and total master of your mind. In this awe, you appreciate the awareness of you as you truly are. And as you know that, which you appreciate, and as you know, comma, as you know, that which you appreciate expands in your awareness. So by appreciating you as your truth, you become more aware of your true mastery. Very similar to the power of light message. You know, Spirit is saying, while you're experiencing this fear, this depression, this hatred, this annoyance, this disgust with yourself, don't forget that you made this out of light, out of pure love. You took pure love and made this experience because you wanted to experience something different than truth. And you don't need to be in awe of fear or in awe of hate, but be in awe of the power that was able to take love and make it seem like fear, or make it seem like hate, right? Be in awe of that which really we call God. All right? Be in awe of that power. And you know, again, Spirit is teaching us to shift the thought, to shift from the thought that I am this body, I am this victim, to identification with our true self. That's what is beginning here. Yeah, 180 degree shift. I'll tell you very briefly, we have 4 minutes left, so very briefly, an experience I had once, kind of a vision type of experience. Spirit took me to a war scene in my mind, and in the war scene, I saw all of the horribleness of war, right? I saw broken buildings that had been bombed, fires, dead bodies, maimed people, maimed children, parents running around looking for their children, frantically afraid. I saw all of this. And of course, not a pretty sight. I mean, it was just, you know, right in the war zone, like right after the attack. Not beautiful. And then within this vision, Spirit took me into a state of what I would have to call formlessness, because the eyes no longer saw anything. It was just nothingness. But yet at the same time, there was something there that I was able to know about. And that something there is what I would call us. Not us as people, but us as our true self. But us as our true self still with ego intact. We weren't past ego to pure love. Right, Spirit represented that, but we weren't there yet. We, in this state, were ourself believing we were all of these people. And what was happening in our mind because of our belief in the world is we were continuing to create scenes like this. So I saw that we were the maker of this experience. But what I also then got to see was I got to see that from Spirit's point of view. And what was most amazing was Spirit's point of view. There was no judgment that we were using our divine power to create things like war. Spirit's point of view was gratitude. Absolute gratitude for what we were. Spirit was looking right past what we were doing with what we were, and instead looking directly at us, at what we were, at our power, at our freedom, at our truth. And there was just gratitude, even as we were, quote, making war. Well, in this particular message, Spirit is teaching us to begin to see that same way. And the interesting thing is, as we shift our seeing to that same way, we won't make war anymore, right? We only make war when we're stuck in the believing the ego. So to join Spirit in shifting to seeing our power, our truth, with just awe and gratitude, and just staying with what we truly are, right? Keeping our vision focused there. That is what we call healing, because that's a shift in identification from what we aren't to our truth, to the absolute perfection that has always been. All right, so I am going to stop there. And Laurent, I'll communicate with you to make sure you have this link, you know, so you can easily open it and share it. But there's plenty here. I bet you it keeps you busy for 2 weeks. I've only read the first 3 paragraphs, so you can start with paragraph 4 if you want review the first 3. I love you all very much, and I will be here on Wednesday. So for those of you who are around, I'll see you on Wednesday. But I won't be back here until the first Sunday in February. All right? Bye.